She shuffled into the synagogue that day, as she did every other Sabbath, slowly making her way in, expecting not to be noticed, just wanting to blend in. It was her obligation. It was her time for worship. So she made her way into the crowd slowly. She didn't really see much. Her eyes were focused downward, always looking at feet and other things on the ground. She couldn't stand straight and look people in the eye. Her eyes were always cast downward because of her condition. Still, she made her way to the synagogue every Sabbath. This had been the way of it for 18 years, 18 long years. She couldn't reach over her head to put dishes in the cabinet, but she had adjusted. Everything was now at waist height or below. She made do. She survived. People spoke to her politely and spoke about her in hushed breaths. Poor thing. I just hate that she has this condition. While thinking in their most secret thoughts, thank God that's not me. Still, she persisted. She would not be beaten down. She was a survivor, so she kept on going. That day at the synagogue, a day that seemed like any other Sabbath, she made her way to the place of the women, and little did she know that this was a day that would change her life. She entered doubled over with a demon that we might now call osteoporosis and left standing upright. An interesting thing about this story is that the woman never asked to be healed. The demon never cried out to Jesus, as demons so often do. The woman in this story was just there in need of healing, and Jesus saw her and perceived her need and restored her. He didn't say anything this time like, "Your faith has made you whole." He laid his hands on her and he healed her. He brought her back to her full stature. Perhaps we can surmise that she had deep faith. She was at the synagogue. She had come to worship even in her diminished capacity. This was not a random act on her part, not like the woman who touched Jesus' garment in the crowd. Jesus saw her and made his way to her. For some reason, this particular woman got his attention. He called her over to him. That certainly must have come as a surprise to her. "Why would anyone call me? What does this rabbi want? Have I somehow done something wrong?" Still, she went to him. How could she not? To ignore or deny the request of this man would have singled her out even more. He then laid his hands on her. We don't know what he said or even if words were used at all, but we know that when Jesus laid his hands on her, she immediately stood up straight and began to praise God. Something amazing had happened for this woman, and she knew it was of God. The reaction of the leader of the synagogue was quite different. He didn't begin to praise God. He didn't see God working in the restoration of this woman. What he focused on was the fact that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath. What one chooses to focus on can make all the difference in the world. The leader of the synagogue was so stuck in his box of laws and rules and regulations that the fact that Jesus, God, had done a miraculously wonderful thing was of little interest to him. Jesus had done so on the Sabbath, and that was against the rules, and everyone knew it. So that the fact that this woman had been tormented for 18 years and was now fully restored was of little interest to the temple leader. It meant all was well and good for her. But healing on the Sabbath is contradictory to the policy and procedure manual. It is not in the standard operating procedures. Therefore, it should not be done. Sorry, lady. We aren't surprised that Jesus didn't take kindly to the rebuke of the leader of the synagogue. He really laid into him and unnamed others who were apparently right there by his side urging him on. Jesus said, "You hypocrites! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, should she not be free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" And looking at this scene from a distance and not being part of the people gathered that day, we can say, of course, you blind fools. Why didn't you just keep your mouths shut? You were obviously setting yourselves to be brought down with one fell swoop. And we hear that the opponents of Jesus were put to shame. And that is the worst thing that can happen in an honor-shame society. And that the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things Jesus was doing. But it's not that clear-cut. This is not a situation that was never to be repeated. In fact, it has been repeated time and again and is still repeated to this day. Moving outside our comfort zone, leaving the policy and procedure manual, allowing the standard operating procedures to be broadened is still an issue. When we get bogged down in the way that we do things, we ignore what it is that we are doing. We have a wonderful liturgy in the Episcopal Church. We have beautiful altar hangings and windows and worship space. We have a standard for how we do things, and it is tried and true and in no ways wrong. But if we become too focused on the details of how we do it, we might overlook what it is we are doing or why it is we are doing it. Time and again, Jesus challenged the people of his day to get out of the box, to understand the broader picture of what God is doing and who God is calling them to be. That challenge still applies today. How quick we are to focus on the details of what we are doing, and in doing so, ignore the bigger picture of why it is that we do what we do. We come together as the people of God to worship God and to be fed by God with his own body and blood, so that we can go into the world and share that with those who need good news, who need to be healed. Where do you find yourself in this story? Are you the woman coming in doubled over in need of healing? Are you the leader of the synagogue focusing on the stains in the carpet or the poor lighting in Tyler Hall? Are you Jesus trying to get to broaden our understanding? We are all here, each person in this story. Perhaps on some days we are one character and on other days we are another. We are all necessary. We are all welcome. We are all challenged. Most of all, and most importantly, we are all invited to the table to be fed. Thanks be to God. Amen.